Now, I'm going to talk about demonism, and what else would we talk about tonight? Seems like that's the subject. Like Steve was saying, we got to get to know the enemy. I mean, not in a marital relationship, folks, but you know. You know, this is a big argument today between the Christians. They say we put too much emphasis on Satan and on demons. They couldn't be further from the truth. Now, you can go overboard just talking about devil, 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 and never talk about anything else, but we need to put a lot of emphasis on our enemy since we are in a war. And since he is the God of this world, we need to know who the God of this world is and how he works. And that is like Steve was saying, that is a subtle way that he approaches Christians. Well, you don't want to talk about Satan too much because you'll get your mind off God. Oh, isn't he religious? Oh. He can just be religious if he wants to be. But that's the big argument today. You know, you talk too much about the devil, about evil, about bad things. You don't give enough glory to God. We give God plenty of glory. There's always a balance. But God, if you're in the army, you know, you think army, you talk army, you sleep and eat army. But if you're in civilian life, you talk civilian life. You have to make a buck. And that's your life. And that's what you talk about. And if you're in the army of the Lord, that's what you're going to talk about. You're going to talk about the enemy, how he's working, what his strategies are, what kind of weapons he has. But if you're a civilian Christian, you don't talk about the devil. Now, that'll let you know who's civilian, who's in the army of the Lord. Those that don't go around talking about the enemy are not in God's army. It's all I got to say. It's plain and simple. And we'll get into this lesson, we'll see this. Because when God calls you in a battle, then that's what you got to talk about. And we talk about the goodness of God. We know God has all power. But we must know the enemy. We must know his ways to be able to get around his evil devices and his traps he lays for us, right? As you can see, the Christian church is in a sad place right now. They're in a sad place. They're compromising their inheritance away. They really are. They've got themselves a nice rocking chair. They got them a nice plush pew to sit on, you know, with 15-inch foam. They got 14-inch plush carpets, stained glass windows, air conditioned. You know, all those things that make you comfortable when you come to the house of God. They give you a little program when you come in the door. Say, at 8 o'clock, we're going to sing Glory Be to His Name. 8:15, we're going to let Brother So-and-so give us a dry exhortation. 8:30, we're going to take up an offering. 8:35, we're going to take up another offering. See, why, you know, what's the use of even having God? Why invite God into a service? You've got it all laid out. God could move if he wants to. And do you know some of the big organizations, probably all of them do now, that they get their sermons a year in advance? And if they teach against that, they get booted out? So what good does it do to serve God? You can serve man. You know, go get your program. You know, they'll give you a nice, sweet sermon. Once in a while, they'll preach on sin to make sure they get a brownie point with God. You know? What happened to the good old days of the apostleship? What happened to the days of being a disciple and making a disciple, making men and women of God? What happened to those days? It's got to come back, and it is coming back. Praise God. But you know, talking about demons is like one of the church unmentionables. You don't want to mention it. You know, they say, well, if we don't talk about it, it'll just go away. Right? He ain't going nowhere. That's bad grammar. He isn't going anywhere. You know? But you must talk about him, because the Bible talks about him. And it's ironic that Christians say we put too much emphasis, but, you know, the Bible speaks plenty about the deceiver, the dragon, the serpent, and Satan, demons, and devils, and evil, you know, and darkness. It talks a lot about it. And they avoid the subject of demonism. They avoid the subject of talking about Satan and his tactics. They just avoid it like it's some bad name, you know, you can talk about. Praise God. But I tell you, the time is here that we need to talk about it. We need to see, the thing is, the church is ignoring this, why the world is exploring it. This is what gets me. They're exploring demons. They're exploring the supernatural, where Christians are completely ignoring it. And they're finding out it's real. Right? Okay, 2 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. Father, we just pray over the Word of God tonight that it would be blessed. We want to learn some things tonight, God. We just pray for your anointing. We thank you for what's been said and done tonight, God. We thank you for your presence. We always want to recognize you, God, as the head, commander-in-chief, the leader, the good shepherd, and the chief shepherd, and the rock, the Savior, and the Christ, and the Lord. And you just go on, Lord. You just everything. We just pray over the Word that it be blessed in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Okay, now verse 10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. That's kind of a tongue twister, isn't it? Now, what he is doing here, of course, Paul comes along here, and this is him writing this, and he comes along in verse 11. He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. He mentioned that name again. Oh, no. I'll forgive him. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, why Paul put such an emphasis on this is that someone had committed a sin in the local church there, and he was asking them and exhorting them to forgive that one because he was going to forgive them. And if they didn't forgive that one, then Satan was going to have an advantage over them. Why? Because they opened the door for him to come in. Now, that's how he can take advantage of us. And this is another argument between the two sides of Christians. They don't believe that demons can come in at will anytime they want. Listen, we can open up a door and let them come in right into the church congregation and devour it and tear it to shreds. It happens all the time. Many churches have split because of unforgiveness. Now, I'm not teaching on unforgiveness, but I'm bringing out one little point here. That he made a statement here, and this is a statement I want to talk about tonight. Because Paul was not ignorant of the device of Satan. He knew his subtle tricks. He knew he was a lying deceit. He knew he was, if they opened the door of unforgiveness, the devil was going to come right in and take over. And he was exhorting them to forgive that person. You know, forgive him. And if you forgive him, then the devil can't come in the door. But if you don't forgive him, he's going to come in because he has legal rights to enter. Now, we found out the devil has legal rights. He doesn't care who he attacks. Crippled, blind, crazy babies. It don't matter to him. He's such a low-down skunk, it don't matter. But Paul was telling them to reaffirm their love for this man. Praise God. Because of the thing he had done. Now, in verse 8... Let's read verse 8. It says, wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love towards him. Talking about this person that had committed a sin. They wanted to reaffirm that love to him. Now, there is a drawing line, okay? I don't go along totally with this teaching lovey-dovey, as you know. I believe there's a point where a person can sin and cause trouble that person needs to be kicked out on his hind end. I'm a firm believer in that. Because Paul himself turned people over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, that man could be saved. He also said there are spots in your feast that come in you and feast with you while all the time they're wanting to tear you up. And he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So there's a fine line, well, not even a fine line, there's two sides of this thing, two sides of a coin. If a person does cause trouble in the body of Christ and repents, who are we to hold it against them? We got to reaffirm our love towards him, if we ever love him to start with. Some people you can't love. How many have ever had that problem? There's some people that you just can't love. I tried it. on some people. And I tell you, it just, I can psych myself into doing it. That's an occult word. You can confess it, but you know, there's just something about somebody, you know, that just rubs you the wrong way. You just can't love them, but you can only love them through God's love. You can't love them what you got in yourself. But if they don't repent, then we have a right to go to other extremes of getting them out of the body, for it contaminates the body. But in this instant, Paul was bringing out that situation and that principle that if they didn't forgive that man, then Satan was going to have an advantage over them and come in and take them. Because he says we're not ignorant of his devices. So Paul obviously had been on a battlefield many times with this particular set of demons. Because how was he familiar with his devices? And if we don't talk about some things, we never know the devices, do we? Now, verse 9, he says, "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things." Praise God. They was wanting to prove their obedience. He's wanting to prove their obedience by forgiving this person. And by... all right. Praise God. He didn't want them to hold back on forgiving this person, okay? Now, the reason why, I've said, because he knew that Satan would have advantage, get advantage. And how many knows that this works individually with us? It works corporately and works individually. That when we don't, this, I'm just using the instant tonight as unforgiveness. There's many reasons, but just this is what Paul was saying. How many knows when you haven't forgiven somebody that Satan can get advantage of you?
Yeah.
And once he comes in, then he can bring other things in with him. That is the way you get demonized. And that's how he takes advantage of us. And that's how he can take advantage of a situation. And that gives him a ground for attack. And this is why God told Adam to dress and keep the garden. In other words, protect that garden. Now, God has given us a job to guard the garden he has planted in our hearts, right? Jesus Christ has planted a garden. He planted a seed. God planted a seed, a divine seed in us. Now you say, how in the world can I guard it? Who am I to guard it? What guards it? The flesh or the Christ guarding himself? Has anybody figured that out yet? Praise God. And this is how Satan is getting advantage over the church in general today, is because they're ignorant of his devices. Oh, yeah, they talk about the devil. Yeah, they know he's a devil. They know he's nasty and dirty and ugly and, you know, and all these nasty things. They know he possesses people. But I'm telling you, if you don't face up and study the Word of God and study his tactics and let God lead you into battle, you will not know a lot of his tactics. We are just now beginning to discover some of his filthy tactics. You know, we've been a short time in deliverance, 3 years, going on 4, I guess. That's a short time compared to some people. But still, we are learning new tactics that God has shown us how Satan works. And if we got, you know, if we thought, oh, I'd cast out demons, I know it all. He's got advantage over us already.
That's right.
Spiritual pride. Self-righteousness. He can come right in and take over through those avenues, those doors. Now, let's go. Now, this is simple tonight. This isn't deep. Let's go to Ephesians. This is just practical teaching, you know, to reaffirm our belief in God, reaffirm our belief in demonism and all this stuff, because we're going to get into more and more of this. And I'd like to say, I feel impressed to say Friday night we're going to get into deliverance. So what I feel impressed to ask any of you to start writing down some names of some things that's tormenting and bothering you. But don't make a big long list that you drag in like a scroll. Bring in a few things, because I'm telling you, these are some tactics that we can use, okay? How many know sometimes when you get in deliverance, you forget some things? But if you got it written down, there it is, and you concentrate on that. Be praying between now and Friday what is bothering you, what you need to get delivered of, and we'll make a way Friday night, because there's no school the next day, and maybe some of you don't have to work, and Friday night's a good night. But I feel impressed from the Lord to go ahead and let you be praying and thinking on this. And then when Friday night comes, we'll get into deliverance like we do. We can get to serve or whatever, maybe if we're too crowded. But what I'm saying is, most of us here kind of know how to battle. I think most of us sitting out here has had deliverance. Now, some more than others. And some are learning. But the thing is, we all know when we start binding and start praying, we can even bind and pray for ourselves. I don't have to go around to everybody and try to rebuke the devil and all that. We do this as a body. It's what we did last night. Pretty soon, everybody was just gagging and crawling all over the place. We didn't know who was praying for who. We didn't know what demons were manifesting. And the ones that, well, we just stepped over, and all we knew need to do is just keep passing out the towels. You know, that and run to the bathroom, puked up, and, you know, this and over here, tears are dropping all over the floor. And, you know, you just, after a while, you know, in a battle, you just thank God it's there. You just know the devil is just going in, you know, getting out of the place. But what I'm saying, this can happen in a mass way, mass deliverances. It can happen.
That's right.
And I don't like spectators. Don't come in here just to look and see who's manifesting. I don't like that. I'm allowed to tell you I don't like that too. But if you come here, think on what you need to get out, and you can start binding and praying for yourself. And when there's that much power generating, these things can start going. And if you need help, there's always assistance around. See, but what I'm saying is, I like everybody to concentrate on your personal self, because you're the one with the problems, not me. Thank God, Lord. I'm almost on the 12th plane. You know, Jesus Christ only made the 7th.
Waiting for the UFO.
Sugmad speaks. Praise God. But I'm saying this because it gets you in a frame of mind when you come. You know what's going to happen. You're prepared. You're ready for battle. You got your armor on. You've got your anger up. You're ready to attack. These things have been bothering you. Now, I know everybody sitting here, there's something tormenting you. I know this. And some may be just small things. It don't matter if it's small things. Don't reach way down in something that you can't get out yet. Get to something that's surfacing. And then when we get into battle, let it go. And it's very simple. This is what I like to see. I like to see simplicity. We don't want to start questioning demons on what side of the flood they came in on. I could care less. The Luciferian or the Noadic flood. I don't care. I don't care if they had three horns or if they're limited to one. I don't care if their toenails curl upwards or backwards. You know, I've seen this type of stuff, and I don't care about that. God said, stay away from questioning demons. Just get them out and make it very simple. Praise God. So I'm saying this, that you'll be prepared for Friday night if God doesn't change his plans, that we can have a deliverance session. And what I'm saying about spectators, don't just come here and sit around. You know, get involved. If you're going to be in the deliverance ministry and you're going to be a warrior, then get involved. You've got to experience this thing for yourself. And you'll learn how that you can actually deliver yourself. We work in self-deliverance all the time. You know, that you can get into these things. I know that not everybody's able to do that, but what I'm saying, as a body generates, you can start praying for yourself if you haven't got your hands on somebody else's throat. You know?
Praise God.
Praise God. Oh, I just love it. Like, oh man, just to hear those demons scream out, no! They give themselves away, don't they? Yeah. I'm not in here. We've had them tell us, I've already gone. They expect me to believe that. Oh God. It is funny, really. You just can't keep from laughing over some things.
They have a name themselves.
Oh yeah, they name themselves. We can force them to name themselves. Sometime we get into that. We can command what their name is, but you know, generally you know what they are. We have kind of learned a few things. If you got one, you finally pick out a whole package of them. You know, if there's one, there's a lot more just like him. You know, if you got rejection, you got rebellion. They just come hand in hand. They're roommates. They're shacking up together. They're always together. Rejection and rebellion. Because if you're rejected, you get rebellious. It always works that way. You get a spirit of lust, and you got the whole package of fornication and adultery and incest and all this junk it goes with. They're always there. It don't matter if you did it or not. They're there. They're always there because they come in groups, the little chickens. But see, you can just kind of pick out generally what they are. And some, you know, sometimes they'll name themselves. It don't matter. You can just, the spirit of discernment works here pretty powerful. We just can pick them out like that. That's something God has placed here. We just know what they are. As you get in and let God's anointing, this is what we want. You got to get in God's anointing. Then it's real easy. Okay, Ephesians. Now, this is great. But let's study this a minute on the armor of God, shall we? Ephesians 6, start in 10 through 14. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, there's that word trickery, or the word beguile, or subtle. It's the same thing Steve was bringing out a while ago. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, swirl, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto thee the whole armor of God." Notice he said the whole armor of God. Don't just get your boots on, leave the rest home. "That you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." And it goes on to talk about some of this armor, okay? Now there's four things that I want to pick out here. I want to dissect this a bit and make it real simple. Now the first thing that we notice, in verse 10, let's go back to verse 10, okay? Verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord."
Again?
"Be strong in the Lord." Now, we want to talk about this word, be strong, because if we was naturally strong, He wouldn't come along and exhort us to be strong. Now, we're not saying that Christ in us is weak. But what I am getting at, people, and I want you to listen to me. God has spoke to us about 2 weeks ago, if I'm not wrong in this, that God said we have power in us that we're not even aware of. And He says, "I want you to learn how to utilize that power." Okay? Now, what Paul was bringing out here, he was pretty much bringing out this. To be strong, okay? To utilize the power that He had in Him. Now, this is what I want to say to the body tonight. We all have Christ. We're all saved. Most of us have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We all have the Spirit of God. We all have a vision. And the thing is that I want to exhort you to tap into the power that's invested in you. I want you to stop looking at everybody else and look within yourself, because that's where the power is. We don't want to get into no stargazing around here. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in looking at a ministry or a minister for the power. I want you to look within yourself, because you're the one that's got it. And all God is wanting us to do individually is tap into that power, and when that all the power comes out in the body, it's one big powerhouse. I want people to learn how to tap into their own resource and use their own resource, because there comes a time you're not always going to be around a body to go into battle. And I don't want people to get dependent on a ministry. You know, "Oh, pray for me." You know, "I stubbed my toe today. Pray for me. Pain." We got to learn how to pray for ourselves and fight the battles ourselves.
Right.
And this is what God is doing in this hour. He's raising up people that will learn how to look inside of themselves and see that they got the same potential as anybody else has got it. Everything that I have, you've got. We all got Christ in us. And Christ wants to come to the fullness. And this is what we need to do. We need to learn how to be strong in the Lord. It didn't say be strong in our personalities. Be strong in our finances. Be strong in numbers. He didn't say that. He said, be strong in the Lord. And this is what God is wanting us to do, is be strong in Him, because it's His strength. Praise God. Now, the battle, of course, is invisible, right? It's done in the spirit realm, in the spirit world. And therefore, our natural strength is external. It won't do us any good with the internal fight. So, this is why we need God's strength. Boy, there's a lot going on tonight, isn't it? Praise God. Now, verse 10, I'm going to read the last part again. And in the power of His might. So God is wanting us to be strong in the power of His might, okay? Now, go, keep your finger there, but go to Colossians real quick. The second chapter. I'm going to start reading in verse 13 here. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, having He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Now, when Jesus Christ died, I've said this many times, He destroyed the works of the devil. Not that the devil had any power over Him to start with, but that's what the Word of God says. He destroyed the works of the devil for us on this side of the cross. That through His death, He unlocked a realm of dominion. Okay? And He invested the power in His body that walks the earth. That's us. And when He died, He made a show of those principalities and powers that we read in Ephesians openly. Now, again, this is what God is wanting us to do, is make a show of them openly in the last days here by defeating them, because He defeated them. Now, we've got to defeat them in the flesh, what I'm saying, in our human bodies, not in our carnality. And this is where Christians get lazy. Well, Jesus Christ did it all. There's no battle. It's already been won, blah, blah, blah. That's only half true. But it's our job to put Satan under our feet and destroy the works of the devil and finish up what Jesus Christ opened up for us to do.
Amen.
He was disarmed, praise God, at the cross. And as Steve was saying tonight, that Satan is not as big as he appears to be. Now, there's two masters. Of course, there's God and there's Satan. And Satan is powerful. We all will agree he's powerful, right? We all believe he's capable of stealing and killing and destroying, right? He's capable of starting world wars, right? He's powerful. But when power comes to power, we still have an advantage over him, because Jesus Christ disarmed him. In other words, he cannot combat us and win unless we let him. Okay, now, the second thing I want to talk about, we'll go back to Ephesians. In verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, did we have the armor on when we got saved? Some people say, well, that's all we need, is just salvation. We got it all. Paul is exhorting them to put it on. So that means we don't have it on until we put it on. It didn't say he was going to come and put it up on us, did he? And again, we know that armor is for soldiers. You don't see civilians running around here in fatigues. You don't see them running around with weapons. You see the people that's in the service running around looking that way. Right? So this will tell you who's in the army of the Lord and who's on the battlefield and who isn't. Because armor is not for civilians. Praise God. And again, they say, well, the armor is just for protection. You can't have demons inside. You put armor on to keep demons from coming at you. What do you put armor on? Do you put it on your physical body? What part of us gets the armor put on us? Does Christ need armor? That he has to arm himself? The Bible says for us to put the armor on. Well, what do we put it on? If Christ is in there and we got an evil nature, which one gets the armor? What I'm getting at, it's not always just for protection. Yeah, armor is for protection. But let me tell you, people, when you put armor on, it means you're going into combat. And you better have your armor on when you go into deliverance. Whether you're fighting spirits within your own self or other people's spirits in deliverance. That's what the armor is for. They say, oh, it's just to ward off the demon attacks. Yeah, it is to ward off the demon attacks. But where does he attack from? Does he always attack from the outside, or is there can be a battle going inside where you need armor? Do we just put the armor on when demons are coming at us from outside, or we keep the armor on when we're fighting in deliverance too? It's something to think about. Do you just use a sword to ward off the demons that's flying around the air coming at you, or do you use it also for to chase him and destroy him? This is why it's important to put your armor on. Because when you put your armor on, you're going into combat. Now, we know soldiers in bivouac, you know, when they're set up camp somewhere, they don't wear their armor on full time. Because they're not in battle. But when they go into battle, then they put their armor on to go out to meet the enemy. Can you see sleeping in all this armor? This big old clunky helmet. You know, big old breastplate of gold or silver or whatever. They had brass. You know, some got more extreme. These great big pants that was kind of made of metal. You know, like this. They had all these great big things on their arm. You know, the big spikes sticking out all around. Had these gloves. Some of them had these big gloves that metal when they was in combat. The sword hit them. It wouldn't actually go into their skin. You know, had protection against there. And some of them had the mask around their face. You know, the steel mask, keep their eyes getting gorged out. I mean, there's all kinds of armor that people have when they go into combat. Do you think they go around like that all the time? No, they put that on when they go into battle. Praise God. Now, spiritually, God wants us to stay prepared all the time. But we, as we know, we're not in the battle all the time. Right? We're not always out on the battlefield swinging the sword around. There's times that God's going to have us somewhere in the back room and he's going to instruct us on a few things, and the devil's nowhere around. He's going to sit down and talk with us. You know, we can get so prone to fight all the time, we don't want to hear from God. And this is an extreme that I want to warn us about, that God has warned us about, that we don't want to be extremists of all there is deliverance. I don't teach on deliverance that often, really. Or demons. In fact, I don't teach on it too much. I teach on dominion a lot. I teach on the vision of God. But when it's time to teach on it, it's fine. And this is extreme that we're not going to fall into, is that everything's got a demon and everything's deliverance. And pretty soon you're so paranoid that every little quirk is a demon. That's not the way it is. There is a walk with God that you learn how to walk in an everyday life with God, and not everything's demons. Ooh, I looked in the mirror and I saw this ugly demon. Someone asked this guy one time, have you ever seen the devil? Every time I shave. Praise God. Hallelujah. Howdy.
This is Byron Williams.
Hi, Byron. Been praying for you.
Thank you.
You want to sit down there or there, whatever. Okay, uh-huh. Okay, have I got the point across that not everything is deliverance, not everything demons and devils? There is a time that God will call us into a place with Him that He can commune. But if we get thinking everything, the demon devil, we're always out on the battlefield just waiting for somebody to come. And we'll never learn anything else. And this is how deliverance ministries go overboard. And they get complete off. They get actually caught in a trap of the devil when they think they're out whipping the devil. See? But we've got to be sensitive to God's Spirit, knowing when He says, all right, come on in, get yourself refreshed, eat some good food, and go back out on the battlefield. This is what God is wanting to teach a body in these last days. That learn how to follow God's Spirit. Learn how to go into battle. When there's a battle, get in there and fight fiercely. Fight. Get in there and just fight with all your might. When He says withdraw, I'm going to teach you some principles. I'm going to put you through some training and discipline. Then you go back with God.
Amen.
And this is, we are learning this around here. We just spent 50 days in a heavy discipline with fasting and praying. And there was very little deliverance in those 50 days. For one thing, I was too weak. I mean, physically, I was pretty weak. But God was not leading us into deliverance. But see, just because you work in deliverance, people think, you know, the standbyers think, well, you ought to be doing that tonight. How come you're not working in deliverance? Can't you cast out a demon? You know, and you got that caliber of people coming around. Well, I'm not interested in that. I'm only interested in obeying God, because you can learn just as much by sitting and hearing from God on how to combat the enemy once you get out there. But let me tell you, if you're always in battle, you're going to be weary after a while, and you're going to learn some tactics of the enemy. And this is, we got to be careful to walk in this realm with God. When He calls us into a place of discipline in our own personal life, go in with Him. Don't blame everything, oh, it's a demon, if I just get it cast out, all my problems are over. Don't believe that. There's some things in your life that God wants you to walk in dominion over. He wants you to overcome. I could just use, I don't know why I'm thinking about this, just finances. It seems like a lot of people don't know how to handle finances. Or is it a demon? No, it's your stupidity on your part that you go out and blow all your money. Sickness? Oh, pray for me. I got a stomachache. Well, what'd you eat? 5 pizzas. Now, is that a demon or is that just stupidity or gluttony? See, what I'm getting at, you can't blame everything on spirits. And then you can't blame everything on the flesh. There's a balance in this thing. And this is what we always going to remind one another. There's a balance in this thing. Thank God for that. Okay, now that's two. Now let's look at the third one here. Where it says, put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is why you need the armor on. That you'll be able to stand against his tricks. Now, verse 13. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Notice he mentions a whole lot about standing here. But the point I want to bring out is that we are to take unto us the whole armor of God. And up here it says, put it on. Then it says, you take unto you. Which means it's there, it's available, but it's up to us to take it and put it on when necessary. There's some Christians that walk around, they don't have their armor on, and they get hit. They leave themselves wide open for the attacks of the enemy. And that's all he's looking for. He's looking for, he walks around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you, people, he cannot devour you anytime he desires. He's seeking. He's looking who he can devour. He sees a little Christian sitting over there playing with the Ouija board, playing in Dungeons and Dragons, burning candles and chanting, all this stuff. I just use those things. It could be anything. If he sees you over doing that, your armor sit over here all over the place, got rust and, you know, cobwebs and, you know, all this stuff you never even had it on to start with, and you're over there dabbling in these things, he is already going to come and devour you. And this is why Christians get devoured. They get just sucked off every day by Satan. Now, it is not God's will that he births children into this world, into his kingdom, for the devil come along and pluck them up. And this is why Paul exhorted those Corinthians, is that we're not ignorant of his devices, for heaven's sakes. But so many Christians are ignorant. So the armor is for us. It's available, but we need to take it unto us. And once we bring it unto us, then we put it on. Now, that's up to us to do it. Christ don't come along and say, oh, Jim Green here, I'm going to put this big helmet on you, and I'm going to give you this sword in your hand. See, those things are what he supplies. But it's up to us to dress ourselves. It's like the bride has made herself ready. Well, he didn't make her ready. Well, he did through refinement, but actually she's the one that was willing to be made ready. She's the one that actually put the wedding garment on. He just supplied it for her. So there is a preparation for battle. And this is what I'm telling you about Friday night. Get prepared for battle. The next 2 days, be thinking and praying what you need to get delivered of. Write it down. When you come in, you'll have a list for yourself. And when we get into mass deliverance, we can start calling out spirits. You can start calling those spirits out, and that much power generated, they'll start flying. I think we started out on rejection last night. And I was surprised how many people got delivered of rejection spirits. I got rid of some last night myself. I started thinking, well, my God, you know, I never got delivered of this. Maybe I got it. Well, I had it. Who knows how they come in? It doesn't matter how they come in. If they manifest, then they're there. See, they manifest. Most of us here has been rejected one way or the other, haven't we? Praise God. And that is a nasty spirit. You don't want to feel rejected, but you just feel rejected. And you just can't seem to help yourself. Okay. Now, number four. Verse 13, he mentions the same thing, having done all to stand. Verse 14, he says, stand therefore. Now, there is a firm stand, people. I want to end it with this tonight. God is looking for people that will stand firm. Do you know what that means? That you put your feet down on holy ground, and you stand there, and you dare the devil to back you up. Because God's call of the hour is go in advance. He's not saying retreat. And God is wanting us to stand firm in our belief in Him, stand firm in the things He showed us. I tell you, a double-minded person is no good. A person that wavers is serpent's meat. Alberto, you didn't laugh.
Don't me.
You've been going around saying that all day. Serpent's meat. Well, that's true. If you're not going to stand in the things God has showed you, if you're not going to stand in the army of the Lord, in deliverance, or in anything God showed you, you will not win the battle.
Right.
Notice how many times He tells us to stand, for heaven's sakes. We're to stand strong. And that means standing with a made-up mind. That you're not backing up. The only thing you can do is go forward. And if an opportunity is it's too strong opposition to go forward, just stand there. Just stand there. Don't back up. This is where patience come in. Praise God. Now, He mentioned this in verse 11, 13, and 14. It must be important that we're to stand. And we need to stand with confidence and assurance. See, if you know what you've got from God, then you're not going to be bullied by the devil. If you know that you have power over Him, He's not going to come and try to manipulate you and condemn you and say, listen, let's compromise, let's talk this thing over. Or He's not going to be able to intimidate you, and that's one of the biggest tactics we talk about, intimidation and fear. And He sends floods after you. He's told us, you know, they're going to shut you down. They're going to get you off radio. You know, everything's going to go against you. You're a cult leader now. That, you know, they're going to, all these cult people are going to write you up as a cult leader now. And you're going to be frowned on. All these spirits of intimidation have been floating around here. We cast out three last night. One was called off balance. One was called insanity. And what was that other?
Lunacy.
A lunatic. And you know what? A certain person had said those three things. And then those spirits were right here last night. God showed me those three spirits, and we found out later that a certain person had said these three things. So you tell me it isn't real? It's real. And we think, oh God, you know, it's our thoughts. It isn't your thoughts. It isn't your thoughts. This is where we need to discern, well, is it God or is it the devil? Well, God ain't going to come along and tell you you're off balance when you're obeying God. He's not going to tell you you're insane. The devil does that. But see, we're so used to accepting negativity and accepting the lies of the devil, we sit and ponder that. And when we ponder that, we become weak in the face of the enemy. Right? We start getting a little faint-hearted. I do a lot of times. sometimes, you know, you get real tired and you just so much going on, you work, and the devil will come along with some kind of intimidation, and pretty soon you just kind of start getting faint-hearted. I catch myself getting faint-hearted. Well, maybe I can't make this thing, you know. And those thoughts will begin to come in, and if I'm not careful, out of my tiredness, I'll start embracing them and pondering them things over and trying to say, well, I can see things happening. Well, this one's going to leave, that one's going to leave. Yeah, they'll come and shut us down, and now where am I going to go? What are we going to do with these houses? You know, in a matter of minutes, all these things come in. I say, what am I doing this for? Then I'll just rise right up and say, man, get out of here. That quick, you can be right on top of the situation and get the devil right on the run. That quick. But it takes that quick for you to go downhill with him. And if you haven't got your armor on, you're not used to battling in the spirit world, this is why Christians are weak. They're spineless. They're gutless today. They won't make a stand. They're embracing an abortion because it's too much hassle to fight against it. You know what I'm saying? Just things like that. Issues of holiness. It's gone. It's cast out the door. Well, let's just compromise. It's okay to have a new wave haircut. Purple on one side, green on the other. It's okay. It's cool. You know, it's in. You know, it's in now, man. Let's be hip. Maybe we'll win them to Jesus. Yeah, you sit there, suck on your joint, and have a beer in one hand. You know, astrology book in this pocket and a Playboy in this pocket, and you're going to go out and win people to Jesus. You're going to win them over. That's funny. You think it's funny that there's people doing that today. We had a man talk to a man yesterday on this line. It happens every single day. Christians are falling for the lies of the devil. They're abandoning holiness. They're not standing firm in the things of God because they think, well, God, you know, he's old time now. He's outdated. Let's throw the black book away. Let's wait for new revelation to come down. You know what? New revelation is coming down too, folks. It's called a New Age movement. They got their whole set of rules. And the Christians are embracing this garbage and calling it God. And the cliches that Christians used to fling around, now they're flinging around. They say, oh, brother, sister. Talking about the Christ. And we need to stand firm in the word, the blood, and the name of Jesus. Because that is weapons of our warfare. And when you get in deliverance, if you know how to handle the word, when the devil tries to twist you around and tell you things, you got the word to stand on. You got the blood of Jesus as your covering. He hates that. You got the name of Jesus Christ, which is above every name. And I've learned one thing, and I'm not admitted failure, but I've learned one thing. There's some spirits that will not come out every time you command them out. I don't know why that is, but there's some things you come back to. You come back to them. And we've learned a few tactics. If you can root out a few small ones and weaken the big one, fine. Now, this is how sometimes God leads you in a battle. You know why? You know why this happened? God told me one time why this happened. I got so frustrated one time. I thought, man, this deliverance ministry is for the birds. I'm quitting. I'm going to get a nice job, drive a nice car. Like the rest of preachers. I want to be respectable, you know. But, you know, I got tired of this thing. You hassle these demons and try to come out in Jesus' name. And I thought, what's wrong with the name of Jesus? Am I doing something wrong? And I really got frustrated over this thing. A couple of days later, after pouting a while and getting mad at God, repenting, I finally had enough guts to ask God, well, why is it this way? He said, oh, simple. I'm teaching you endurance. Well, I should have thought of that. If everything went out immediately, there'd be no endurance. There'd actually be no battle. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So there's a wrestling match. If all you did was give him a judo chop and he was gone, well, you'd walk around a head this big. Oh, that's brother. Get out of the way. Roll out the red carpet. There's brother. He speaks and it's done. Listen, I wish it was that easy. Let me tell you, but it isn't that easy. God is going to have a people that he's going to train how to war, how to wrestle, how to endure in the battle. And this is why God purposely holds back some deliverances when you fight and fight and fight. We've wrestled with people sometimes 2 or 3 hours in here. Pretty soon we can't hardly talk. You know, we're so hoarse. God is teaching us endure in battle. And you get up feeling worse, you know, just like, man, like God, my back. What tank rolled over me? I've been sometimes, my whole legs were paralyzed. You know, you get up from the battlefield, you think, my God, did I do any good? And last night was just the opposite. We got in and started attacking the devil. I mean, it was just like just zero, boy. The anointing was here and nothing stood in our way. Every demon we called out left. I mean, it was just going. And there's nights not like that. There's nights completely opposite. We just go to bed defeated sometimes. We think, phew, deliverance. I hope to God he don't call me into this anymore. You know what I'm talking about? There's times you just wish to God you never heard that word. People ring and call you up on the telephone. And I say, oh my God, I hope it isn't people want deliverance. You know, when I get in this frame of mind after, not a defeat, but after one of those enduring battles, oh, you see a few things. But boy, when you have a good one, you're just ready to just tackle the biggest ones, see? Praise God. Oh, one more scripture and I'm done. Well, actually, still on 13. Word says to withstand in the evil day. Now, I know there's a day that we talk about, the day of the tribulation period, that we're going to have to be able to withstand during that day. But there are days in our walk with God that we have to learn how to resist. Okay? There's days that we have to learn how to resist. When the enemy comes and starts lying, you have to learn how to resist that. And how many knows that the devil will actually just scream in your ear a lot of time? I mean, you know, you don't hear it, but you hear it. It's just, it's that loud noise going on in your head. It's like a pool hall. Bing, your head's going to be beat around. You know, the guy's sitting there smoking a cigarette and a few foul languages. It's just like you're inside of a pool hall. All this going on. And all this loud noise, and it's just disgusting. And you're going around just, you know, just like nothing's going on, but all this going around your head all day long, see? Has anybody had that experience? You try to get your mind on writing or on studying or doing something, all this noise going on. Once in a while they get a fight, somebody breaks a beer bottle, slashes somebody up, you hear a siren going down. I mean, this is kind of what happens in the spirit world, within your own thinking. When all these floods and the enemy will come crashing in on you. And you think, well, what is that scripture about the peace of God? What happens to the old peace of God? You know, the Baptists used to preach about. Sometimes you just kind of long to go to an old denomination, dry denomination, sit there and enjoy it a while. Cash in your chips and go sit down a while, you know. Find yourself a nice rocket chair with grandma. Wait for the rapture, you know, that they believe. Maybe when you get to heaven, you can build a cabin next door to Jesus or something. Praise God. So that's part of going up to God. You know, it's an endurance contest. And God is going to teach us how to endure in battle. Because the day is coming. We know tribulation is coming. We know the day of darkness and gloominess is coming. We know the day that God has appointed for His wrath and all this and His judgments to come. God is going to have a people walking through that mist to helping people out. And the Lord said, "This is." He told us, he said, "This is only training for what's ahead." I thought, my God, I thought I was in it. He said, no, just training. I'm teaching you how to endure when that day does get here. See? So we got to learn how to endure in battle. And stand, not just only endure, but stand there. You know, in the face of the enemy, and they're sticking their tongue out at you and calling you all kinds of evil names, you've got to learn how to stand there, firm, unmovable, at the slightest command of Jesus Christ. Attack them head on. Praise God. Well, I better quit tonight. Hallelujah.